seems that this old world is obsessed with winning at sports. It seems that this world is obsessed with winning at sports. Listen to this. In 2024, Americans spent, are you ready for this? $100 billion, with a B, $100 billion on sports. And I would say that most of that was spent with an emphasis on what? On winning, right? From little league to youth league to middle school and high school sports to college and even the pros, lots and lots of money is spent and crazy amounts of time are invested into sports. Now, you know me, I'm not anti-sports. Sports can be fun. Sports can teach you a lot of lessons. But I'm saying some people are really obsessed with sports and with the idea of winning and winning and winning. And I even read some statistics that the average, like, younger person who is in any sport, per year, they're paying about $900 at least. $900, I think, was the average that I looked at, more or less. Can you imagine the money, the time, and the effort put into sports and winning in particular? Again, I'll say, sports do teach you many lessons as long as they're in their proper priority. But you know what? The main emphasis on winning in sports, is there something that we should be winners in that's even more important than sports? You know, the problem with winning in sports, and believe me, I've had my share of losses. I've had my share of victories. It feels a whole lot better to win, doesn't it? When your team wins, you're kind of upbeat. When your team loses, you're kind of like, ugh, you know, or even apart when you participated in sports. But you know what? That winning, how long does that winning really last? You know, we can win the sports game, but does that really mean we can win the game? But does that really mean that we're a winner in life? Does that really mean that we are a winner in life? On this graduation Sunday, I kind of wanted to keep with that theme of graduation. And this applies to Sean, absolutely. But let me tell you, it applies to every one of us. We're going to look at how to win in life. How to win in life from the Word of God. We're looking at some principles from the Word of God. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. That's the second time you've heard that, right? How to win in life, or how to be a winner in life. We'll be turning to several different passages. Point number one today spells out the word win, the W. Wave goodbye forever to the old self. If you want to be a winner in life, first of all, principle number one from God's Word, wave goodbye forever to the old self. Do you know waving goodbye to the old self starts at the point of salvation? It starts at the point of salvation. You see, there's a lot of people that's got it wrong on how to be saved. In fact, every false religion teaches that you can work your way to heaven, either by some specific work or some series of works, or if your works outweigh your good works, that is, outweigh your bad works, you're in. But can I tell you, that's not what the Bible says. If you want to be a true winner in life, it starts by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, everybody here that I see today, everyone here, including the person that you're looking at right now, we are all sinners. A sinner is someone who does something contrary to the will of God, does something wrong. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned, all." That's all that it means, right? All means all, and that's all that it means. And it means every single one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, if that was the end of the story, I'd say let's just pack up and leave, and let's go down to T&L and get a hot dog or something, because that's the best news I can share. But the good news is we don't have to. to carry our sins around. We don't have to carry that guilt, and we don't have to carry the penalty of our sins, which is death. Which is death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You know what? I'm thankful that if I want to be a winner in life, God says step number one is trust Jesus. As a sinner, you know how you do that? You call out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. And you got to mean it from your heart. I get frustrated at these preachers who say they basically imply that there's some magic in these words. So regardless of where your heart is, just repeat these words and you'll be saved. That's baloney. That's hogwash. That's wrong. You got to mean it from your heart. And most people feel you're working your way to heaven. Every false religion feels that way. But I tell you, there's a better way. It's called Jesus. We are sinners. We cannot take our sin to heaven, but God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. And it's important that he lived a perfect life, or when he died upon the cross, he'd be paying for his own sins. But he didn't have any sins. And when he died upon the cross, he paid for your sins and your sins and your sins and your sins and my sins. For the sins of the whole world. And if I want to be a winner in life, you know what I need to do? I need to be saved. And I do that by calling upon the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner. But that takes humility. And you know, a lot of people are going to miss heaven because of their pride. They're too proud to humble themselves, admit that I've done things wrong in life, and ask the Lord to forgive them. And then you got to believe in what Jesus really did for us. And it's not like, well, I suppose so, maybe so. I've said many, many times, if you talk to the average person in Clarksburg, I'll bet you they'll tell you. If you ask them, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, probably. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, yeah, probably. Something like, it's not a hope-so type of thing. It's like, I'm sure, I know, I am convinced in my heart, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus really lived on this earth as the Son of God, and that he really died upon the cross to pay for my sins, and really came back to life again and conquered death. So if you call out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I believe that Jesus really was your son who died upon the cross for me and resurrected back to life, and mean that from your heart, and then ask the Lord to be your Savior. Lord, would you be my Savior? I confess Jesus as my Savior. And that's a commitment in life. You see, a lot of people have forgotten that's a commitment in life. But if you do that, you can start the process of being a winner in life. You see, being a winner in life starts with trusting Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today, I know I normally have this at the end of the sermon, but I thought I'd just start out with it. If you're here today and you don't know whether you're saved, the best question I've learned to ask is, are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If you hem-haul around, I don't really know. Or you might say flat out, no, I know I'm not going to heaven. Whichever the case may be, if you have your doubts, or if you're just truly not saved at all, and you know it, the way to be a real winner in life starts by trusting Jesus as your Savior. I use the terminology, nail it down, nail it down. You know, Joe has a silver barn right next to the road there. It's an old, old, old barn. And you know, we've had the crazy high winds, and it kind of whipped up some of the metal roof on it. And it kind of was up just a little bit. And then some more sheets were up just a little bit. You know what I did? I didn't nail it down, but I screwed them down. I made sure that they were secure. In the same way, in a very similar way, if you say, I really don't know, I'm just kind of flapping in the wind here, nail it down whether you're saved or not. Because it's too big of a decision, too big of consequences, because it's eternity either in heaven for those that have trusted Jesus or in hell for those that have not trusted Jesus. It's too big to leave out there just flapping in the wind. Nail it down, all right? You say, how do I be a winner in life? First of all, wave goodbye forever to the old self. When you trust Jesus, guess what? You become a brand new person. You become a brand new person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If you listen to this verse, let's listen to this verse. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you become a brand new person. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, who's that talking about? Those that are saved. It says, he is a new creature. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you become a brand new person. You don't have to keep living like the old self. You know, when you are saved, your heart is changed. When you are saved, your goals in life change. When you are saved, your leader changes from self to the Lord. Everything about you is supposed to change. You know, we need to be done with these excuses. You know, well, you know, maybe someday. When you really trusted Jesus as your Savior, you became a new creature according to the Word of God. And we're supposed to live accordingly, right? You want to be a winner in life? Wave goodbye forever to the old self. If you're lost, today's the day to be saved and wave goodbye to the old self. If you're here today and you're saved, guess what? You're to be different. If your goals in life didn't change when you got saved, if your heart didn't change when you got saved, maybe you really didn't get saved. You see, you become a brand new person. Also, the new self is to be separate or different from the old self in the world. You see, once a person gets saved, the new self, the new creature that's spoken of in 2 Corinthians 5:17, is to be separate or different from the old self in the world. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at these verses 14 to 18. I told you we're going to cover a lot of ground in Scripture, okay? So I'll try to talk fast, you listen fast, and we'll get through this, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at these verses. Under the point, new self, the new self is to be separate or different from the old self in the world. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, we use this a lot, right, when it comes to marriages. And I already hit that briefly, Sean. You know, when it comes time, when God brings that person, Ryan, the same thing, Jason, the same thing, anybody young here, Ayla, you got a few years yet? But whenever you choose your mate, don't be unequal. If you're saved, don't you marry someone who's unsaved. And guess what? Let me tell you, I'm going to meddle just a little bit. I'm going to take a little rabbit trail for just a moment. Just because someone says, I'm saved, doesn't mean they're truly saved. If they're truly born again, there ought to be some proof in their life that they're truly born again. And I've gone beyond that by even saying, you know what? You just don't want someone who says they're saved. You want someone who says they're saved and they're serious about God. I mean, how many people have we seen in our churches? Now, they seem to be pretty serious about God, but they married someone who wasn't serious about God, and who in the world knows where they are today? They're not serving the Lord. They're not in church. Now, this is serious. Now, this is just not my opinion. This is God's word. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That goes with business partnerships and things like that. You got to be careful, okay? Marriages. It says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Notice what it says. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What fellowship do they have? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now listen, keep listening. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. This is talk about someone who's saved. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, for a child of God, we ought to say, praise the Lord. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to think like the world. I don't want to be like the world. I'm different because God lives in me. It says, wherefore come, here it is. Wherefore come out from among them the lost. Now, we don't shun the lost. We love them to Jesus, right? But we don't act like them. And we don't try to fit in with the world. You know what? One of the best compliments you could get as a Christian from the lost world, they're different. And they might snarl their nose up a little bit, mean it as an insult. But for a Christian, if you're different than the world, praise the Lord. Because it says, come out from among them and be separate. Be different, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, once we're truly born again, we say goodbye to the old self. We're supposed to be different than the old self, right? How to win in life. Wave goodbye forever to the old self. Under that, this starts with being saved. You become a brand new person when you are saved. The new self is supposed to be separate or different from the old self and the world. And what we used to be and do is over. What we used to be and do is over. You know, I'm not preaching perfection. I mean, you're looking up here at a very imperfect person. But guess what? Right back at you. I'm looking back at some people who are also very imperfect. Will not reach perfection. But guess what? Our association with the old self and acting like the old self without getting right with God and going on and on and on is supposed to be over. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. Listen to these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Notice, listen to this. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Notice this, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's talking about people who are unrepentant and they've never been saved. And this is part of who they are. But listen to the rest of it. And such were some of you. I like the tense there, don't you? And such were some of you. You used to be like that. But what? But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified or declared righteous. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, if you want to be a winner in life, you got to wave goodbye forever to the old self. That's what we used to be, not what we are. And you know, if God is not working on your heart and drawing you closer to Him, there's a problemo. There's a problem in your life. Because God is not moving, and the Bible says draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you, right? So if you're not sensing that, you drawing closer to Him, Him drawing closer to you, guess what? I'll say 100% the problem is yours and not God's. But you see, to be a winner in life, you got to wave goodbye forever to the old self. Two things that help us say goodbye to the old self. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to hit this more than once today, but in Romans chapter, I'll probably be done by about 3 o'clock. Romans chapter, it's a special occasion. It's graduation Sunday. I can preach longer. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Here it is. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? You transform your mind by reading God's word and putting God's word in your heart and in your life. You see, we have two tools to help us say, bye, old self, I'm going to be different because I'm a new creature. And one of those tools is the Word of God. The other tool is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Notice what it says. This I say then, walk in the what? Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You see, we have two tools, that really key tools that help us. The Word of God. If we get in the Word of God, we can say, bye, old self, I don't want to serve you anymore. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to think like you. I don't want to act like you. I don't want to look like you. Because I got this tool, the Word of God, tells me how I'm really supposed to be. It shows me what I'm like and shows me how to straighten up and fly right. It shows me what righteousness looks like, and that's how I'm going to live. And that verse says we also have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, which says, you know, when we start to try to go back to the old self, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us once we are saved says, not so fast. Don't do that. That's wrong. I'm thankful for those two tools, aren't you? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that helps me say goodbye forever to the old self. Can I demonstrate what a lot of people do with the old self? I need a volunteer. Sean, you're young and vibrant. Can you come up here for a moment? It's really not Pick on Sean Day. We love you, Sean. Okay, would you go to that side of the platform, please? All right, we're over here. All right, I come to this point in my life, I'm walking down life, and I figure out I need to be saved. So I got my old self, myself, I get on my knees, Lord, save me, forgive me, be my Savior. I believe Jesus died for me. I mean it from my heart. I confess Jesus as my Savior. I get up. There's the old self with facial hair. With facial hair, I might add. There's the old self. And I'm like, you know, I just got saved. I'm excited about Jesus. You know, bye, old self. You take care of yourself. You stay right here and don't move a muscle. And I go in life and everything's going good. I'm serving Jesus. But you know what happens? Somewhere along the line, maybe life is not as exciting as it used to be. You know, maybe the devil brings some temptation or the world brings some temptation into my life. And you know what I do? Hey, old self, tell you what, why don't you just walk along with me just a little bit? Isn't that what happens? Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. If you want to be a winner in life, you wave goodbye forever to the old self and leave them there. Y'all with me on that? Some of you look a little perplexed on that. Did the analogy or the acting out really confuse you? Great acting job, Sean. I'll nominate you for an Oscar, okay? Or whatever that is. How to win in life. Number one, W, wave goodbye forever to the old self. You want to be a winner in life? Let me ask you that. Do you really want to be a winner in life? It's not by the world's standards. It's by God's standards. Number two, the I. The I. Invite Jesus to be part of every decision in life. Remember, to be a winner, you got to be saved. And then you say forever, bye, old self. Now, that old self wants to sneak up on you every once in a while. I won't kid you. It will. But you say bye forever and say, no, I'm not going to be that way. But the eyes invite Jesus to be part of every decision in life. You know, God has a perfect plan for your life. I'm going to have a plop up Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 again. Notice what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brother, and I urge you because of the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here I am. Holy, that's different. Acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. But notice this. Be not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about the Word of God. That ye what? That you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Do you know that for every one of you? Well, I would everybody stand up for just a moment. If you're able. If you're not, if it's a struggle, I understand. Don't do it. But if you're able easily to stand up for just a moment, would you say to the Lord, Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for my life. Would you say that? That's good. You can be seated. You know, isn't that an amazing, awesome thought? And that's what it says. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Now, once you trust Jesus as Savior, it's up to us to figure out what is God's plan for my life. God doesn't make trash. God doesn't make you a Christian to sit in the pew and do nothing. He saves us for a plan and a purpose. And it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect because it comes from God. And so he's got a good plan. So when we have things to decide in life, it's important that we consult him on every single plan. I'm amazed at how many times I talk to Christians. And they say, well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to move here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to marry this one, and I'm going to on and on. And I said, well, have you prayed about that? And it's almost like they got hit with a sledgehammer or something. Like, what a novel idea. I should pray about that. Remember, we got the Word of God to give us direction. We got the Holy Spirit to give us direction. And if you want to be a winner in life, invite Jesus to be part of every decision. Because he knows what the perfect plan for your life is. Mom don't know. Dad don't know. Siblings don't know. Grandma and grandpa don't know. But let me tell you, your friends don't know. But God knows the plan for your life. It's kind of goofy, really, if you think about it, for us with our little mental capacity and our little ability to do anything right, to think, I'm going to make right decisions, but I'm going to exclude Jesus in this. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? That's scary. Would you imagine? Can you imagine going, let's say you're Washington, D.C. Can you imagine going to Washington, D.C. without anyone to tell you where to go and how to get about, without a map, without GPS or anything, and you get plopped, you get dropped from a helicopter on a ladder in the middle of Washington, D.C. You're going like, dang. Right? That's kind of the way we are when we try to live our life without consulting God, without asking him, without including him in our plans. You see, if you've trusted Jesus, he is the planner. He is the one who has guidance and direction for your life. You know, God should be trusted in life and with life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord. Not trust in self, not trust in someone else, not trust in this world, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart, right? And when you trust God with your life and decisions and consult him, you know it says, you know what it says in these verses? He'll direct your paths. Wow. You trust him, you consult him, he will direct your path. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Isn't that consulting him? Isn't that getting his input? Isn't that inviting him to be part of every decision? It says, and he shall direct thy path. I don't know about you, I've got a very poor sense of direction. You turn me around three times in Walmart, I'm confused about where the front is, okay? I might as well admit, I know this is not confession time, but I'll confess to you. As I've said, I've married my sense of direction. 9 times out of 10, when I try to follow my sense of direction, I want to go the wrong way. I come up to a you don't have to agree that much. You don't have to nod that much. I come up to a stop sign in an area I'm not familiar with, and sometimes an area I am familiar with, and I'll say, I go left here, right, Amy? She goes, go right. But in life, I mean, shouldn't we consult God and let him direct our paths and say, you go right here, you go left here, you do this. This is where I want you to go to school. This is what I want you to be. This is who I want you to witness to. This is the church I want you to join. This is the membership area where I want you to serve. This is what I want you to do. I mean, he's got the directions, doesn't he? He's got the plan. He's got the perfection. He knows exactly how to direct us. I'm thankful for that. And rather than worry, we're supposed to cast all of our decisions upon the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says what? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rather than sitting back worrying and saying, I wonder what I should do, we need to be consulting God. We need to be inviting him as part of our life and say, what do you want me to do? I want to demonstrate that, okay? Who am I going to pick on now? Let's see. AJ, you're young and got lots of energy. And what's that? Well, I'd rather have a strapping young man, okay? So, you're not coming up? Yeah. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. I needed you to come forward, okay? Now, remember, our point is invite Jesus to be a part of every decision in life. Now, I know this is a stretch, but AJ represents Jesus. Sorry, Sean, you represented self and the old self and the world. This guy represents Jesus, all right? So here I am. Just stay there for a second, if you would. Here we go. You know what? I got a lot of big decisions to make in life. I got to decide what I'm going to do for him, what my next step in ministry might be, what the next step at Oakmount might be, and how God wants to direct us, and how we're going to reach souls and all that. And you know what? I'm going to come up with, in my own little brain, I'm going to come up with a master plan. And I'm like, this just quite doesn't sound right, does it? Hey, Jesus, come on over here, would you? Okay. Have a seat, would you? Now, let me ask you, here at Oakmount, and I'm going to ask you, you know, how to direct me in life and what I should be doing and how I could be a better dad and how I could be a better husband and all that. You see the point? We need to consult the Lord. We need invite Jesus in every decision we make. You know, I don't think Jesus really cares whether you use Crest or Colgate, but beyond that, about every decision above that, you know, we really need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, AJ. Appreciate that. How to win in life. How to win in life. The W, wave goodbye forever to the old self. The I, invite Jesus to be part of every decision in life. And the last one, the N. Are you ready? Note the matter of ownership. Note the matter of ownership. You know, I think these principles apply to Sean, absolutely. I think the principles apply to Pastor Steve. I think the principles apply to every child of God. You say, what are you talking about? We need to take note, if you will, of the matter of ownership. You see, once a person is saved, once a person is truly born again, guess what? The Holy Spirit claims this territory. Do you know what I mean? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. I'm almost finished, believe it or not. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. It's under the point, once a person is saved, the Holy Spirit claims this territory. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Notice what it says. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Isn't that how we get saved? We hear the gospel. We trust the gospel. Ask the Lord to save us. Believe in our heart. It says, in whom after that ye believed, key word, you were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment or the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Let me sort through that in a very simplistic way, all right? Once you trust Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And it seals you. God has sealed you. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. It seals you and guarantees that you're going to make it to heaven. And on those days I wake up and I feel bad and I feel lousy and I get a little bit grouchy and it seems like the world's against me, I can say, you know what? I know that I'm saved because Jesus sealed me with His Holy Spirit. Right? And it claims that territory. Notice this. Once a person is saved, the Holy Spirit claims this territory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, notice this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You see, once you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, comes to be your constant companion, claims that territory, if you will. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. You are not God. You will never be God. Some false religions have taught, yes, we are coming closer and closer to God, and someday we will all be gods. Hogwash, baloney. That baloney is a Hebrew word that I learned in my Hebrew class. Baloney. It's not true. You will never be God. You'll never become God. But guess what? We have God living inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's claimed that territory if you know Jesus as your Savior. But listen. Listen to verse 20. Notice what it says. Once a person is saved, he or she belongs to God. Once a person is saved, he or she belongs to God. It says in verse 20, the next verse, it says, for ye are bought with a price. What was the price that you were bought with? The blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. In other words, with everything you got, glorify God because you've been bought with the blood of Jesus. And it goes on to say, which are God's. Your body and your spirit, they belong to God. You know, if we're to be winners in life, we must note the matter of ownership. You know, a lot of people, I think they think that this life of Christianity is not a life of commitment. It is a life of commitment. And you hear people on television, even people behind pulpits who are preachers. I put them in quotes because they're not really preachers. They're false prophets. And they get up here and they talk about all the things you get from Christianity. Thank the Lord, we get a lot from Christianity. But they don't say that it's also a commitment to the Lord. They don't say you belong to Jesus. They don't say you need to note. If you're going to be a winner in life, you need to note that you don't belong to yourself. You know what happens in the life of most Christians? They get saved, they praise the Lord, they're happy for about a month, and they're on fire for about a month, and then they realize they're going to take back certain parts of their life again. Really kind of related back to point one in a lot of ways. But can I tell you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you want to be a winner in life, you need to take note. You don't own yourself anymore. The Lord owns you. You ever signed over a vehicle to somebody? You ever signed over a house to somebody? Wouldn't it be something to come back and you try to take it back and you get in the truck and hotwire the truck that you are just sold to somebody? The law would not look real favorably upon that because you've given it to someone else or sold it to someone else, right? As far as a child of God, once we trust Jesus, we lock, stock, and barrel, hook, line, and sinker, and whatever analogy you want to throw, we belong to the Lord completely. We have no right to say, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what you say, tell me to do. You see, we need to note this matter of ownership. We belong to Jesus if we know Him as our Savior. All right. Lon, would you do me the biggest favor and be my next volunteer? You can hit me later, Lon. Okay, if you come forward. Now, once I become a child of God, guess what? Say I'm walking along and I trust Jesus as my Savior. Lord, save me of all my sin. Guess what? This guy represents the Holy Spirit. See, you get a good part too. So guess what? This Holy Spirit, if I could without embarrassing myself, I'd give him a piggyback right across the platform because we are that close and that Holy Spirit is right there. And that Holy Spirit, you know, Lon, I'm going to say something mean about John. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's Holy Spirit says, uh-oh, you ought not do that. He says things like that. Or when I do something and say, well, Jerry,
you're just an old rotten rascal. The Holy Spirit says, that's not right. You shouldn't have done that. And we are close. We are thick. We are like in this together because I've been saved and the Holy Spirit lives in my life. Now, isn't that the way we're supposed to walk through life? Let's walk across that way, can't we? And you know what else? In case I forget it, he reminds me every day that I am God's property. So as I go through life, I got to remember I don't belong to myself. I belong to the Lord. Thank you, Lon. I can see three Oscar nominations in the works, can't you? How to win in life. Wave goodbye forever to the old self. The first step of that is to be saved. If you're here today, the best thing I could recommend for you is to trust Jesus as your Savior. We're going to sing a song here in a moment. And if you're here and you say, you know what, I'm not sure I'm saved, or you might say, I know that I'm not saved, I'm going to be down here. Even if you just got questions, even if you're not willing to make that decision, would you come forward and say, preacher, I want to talk to you about it? Maybe you'll say, preacher, I want to nail it down. I want to be saved. Because that's the first step in waving goodbye to the old self. But for those of us that know Jesus, have you waved goodbye forever to the old self? Right now in your life, is there some elements of the old self that just keep hanging around and you've waved him back over into your life and kind of cozied up with the old self a little bit? I'd encourage you, as a child of God, you're not going to accomplish much for the Lord until you say goodbye forever to the old self. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to quit acting like the old self. I want to act like the new creature that I am. Secondly, if you know that Jesus as your Savior, do you invite Jesus to be part of every decision in life? You know, you may be facing a big decision right now. Don't make it on your own. You're not capable of making that decision. I'm not capable of making these decisions. Would you invite Jesus to make that decision for you? Say, come on over, let's sit down, let's talk about this. Get on your knees. Lord, what do you want me to do from this point forward? Maybe God is speaking to your heart as a Christian and say, you know what? You made some decisions here lately and you didn't consult me. How come? Maybe come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it. The third way to be a winner, note the matter of ownership. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price, the precious, sinless blood of Jesus. So if you need a reminder of that today, and you might say, you know what, I've kind of doing my own thing. I've kind of taken control of my life. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to remember every day I belong to you. You know, winning in life, like I said, it's a whole lot funner to win than to lose. But you know, at the end of this thing, this life, God is going to tell us whether we're winners or not. Because we as Christians will stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not a matter of whether you're saved or lost. It's a matter, if you will, in context of the sermon, whether you're a winner or not. Ultimately, we win because we go to heaven. But have you been pleasing to the Lord by waving goodbye to the old self, inviting Jesus to be part of every decision, and noting the matter of ownership that God owns you? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this message, how to win in life, from your word. Lord, it's not my opinion. It's part of your word. Help us, Lord, to do our best, to be our best for you. Lord, help us. And Lord, if there's anybody here that's lost, may they come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved, or at least I want to talk to you about this. Lord, if there's anybody listening, I pray that they'll be saved where they're at. Call out to you to be saved. Ask you to forgive them of their sins and to be their Savior. And Lord, for the Christians that are here today, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to do our best, Lord, to do what you want us to do, letting you take control.
Lord, waving goodbye forever to the old self, Lord, inviting you to be part of every decision that we make, and make a note, Lord, that we really, really belong to you. Speak to hearts, and Lord, help us to respond as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we pray.